This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of Tullo fractures from the pediatric section on orthobullets.com. Tullo fractures are a traumatic condition characterized by a Salter-Harris III fracture of the anterolateral distal tibia epiphysis. This is caused by an avulsion of the anterior-inferior tibiofibular ligament. Again, Tullo fractures are caused by an avulsion of the anterior-inferior tibiofibular ligament, and treatment is closed reduction and casting if there is less than 2 millimeters of displacement, or open reduction and internal fixation if there is greater than 2 millimeters of displacement. As far as the epidemiology, Tullo fractures account for 3 to 5% of pediatric ankle fractures. As far as the demographics, Tullo fractures are more common in girls, and they are seen in children nearing skeletal maturity that is between 12 to 14 years old. They typically occur within 1 year of complete distal tibial fascial closure due to the pattern of progression of fascial closure. Tullo fractures are typically seen in older patients than in the triplane fracture age group. As far as the pathophysiology of Tullo fractures, the mechanism of injury results from a supination external rotation injury. Again, Tullo fractures result from a supination external rotation injury, and this leads to avulsion of the anterolateral tibia at the site of attachment of the anterior-inferior tibiofibular ligament. Lack of a coronal plane fracture in the posterior distal tibial metaphysis distinguishes this fracture from a triplane fracture. Again, lack of a coronal plane fracture in the posterior distal tibial metaphysis distinguishes this fracture from a triplane fracture. Associated conditions include a distal fibular fracture that is usually a Salter-Harris 1 or Salter-Harris 2 fracture, as well as an ipsilateral tibial shaft fracture. Now let's talk about some relevant anatomy. We'll talk about fascial considerations and ligaments. As far as fascial considerations, the distal tibial physis accounts for 35 to 40% of overall tibial growth and 15 to 20% of overall lower extremity growth. The rate of growth is 3 to 4 millimeters per year. Growth continues until 14 years in girls and 16 years in boys. Closure occurs during an 18-month transitional period and occurs in a very predictable pattern, starting centrally, then moving anteromedially, then moving posteromedially, and then finally laterally. Again, closure occurs during an 18-month transitional period and occurs in a predictable pattern, starting central, then moving anteromedial, then posteromedial, and then lateral. The important ligaments to be aware of in the setting of a Tullo fracture is the anterior inferior tibiofibular ligament, and this extends from the anterior aspect of the lateral distal tibial epiphysis, otherwise known as the Chaput tubercle, to the anterior aspect of the distal fibula, otherwise known as the Wagstaff tubercle. Patients with Tullo fractures present with symptoms of pain and inability to bear weight. Physical exam should involve inspection, which may reveal slight swelling, focal tenderness at the anterolateral joint line, and keep in mind that deformity is rare, and this is because marked displacement is prevented by the fibula. As far as imaging, recommended views on radiographs include an AP, lateral, and a mortise, and keep in mind that the mortise is the best view to see Tullo fractures. Findings on radiographs include a Salter-Harris III fracture of the anterolateral distal tibia epiphysis. A CT scan is indicated to delineate the fracture pattern, determine the degree of displacement, and identify intramalleolar or medial fracture variant patterns. Treatment of Tullo fractures can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes closed reduction and casting, and this is indicated if there is less than 2 millimeters of displacement following closed reduction, however this is rare. Operative options include closed reduction percutaneous pinning versus open reduction internal fixation. This is indicated if there is greater than 2 millimeters of displacement that remains after a reduction attempt. This has been a tested point on previous exams, so I'll say this again. Closed reduction and percutaneous pinning versus open reduction internal fixation is indicated if there's greater than 2 millimeters of displacement that remains after a reduction attempt. Now, let's go over some of these management techniques in a bit more detail. We'll talk about closed reduction and casting, closed reduction and percutaneous pinning, and open reduction and internal fixation. As far as closed reduction and casting, reduce Tullo fractures by internally rotating the foot. You can also attempt by dorsiflexing the pronated foot, then internally rotating. Keep in mind that CT scans are sometimes needed to determine residual displacement, and this can be used to confirm less than 2 millimeters. A long leg cast is initially used for 3 to 4 weeks to control the rotational component of the injury. Again, a long leg cast is initially used for 3 to 4 weeks to control the rotational component of the injury, and then make sure to follow these patients early with radiographs to assess for displacement. immobilize these patients for an additional 2 to 4 weeks in a short leg cast or a walking boot to initiate ankle range of motion. Moving on to close reduction and percutaneous pinning. As far as reduction, use a K-wire or a guide wire as a joystick for reduction, and then assess reduction with fluoroscopy or an arthrogram in the operating room, and if in doubt, open the joint and visualize. As far as instrumentation, a K-wire or a cannulated screw over a guide wire can be the final fixation. Remember that it is okay to cross the physis with fixation as there is little growth remaining in the setting of a Tullo fracture. As far as outcomes of close reduction and percutaneous pinning, functional outcomes are good with a residual displacement of less than 2.5 millimeters. As far as open reduction and internal fixation, the approach is typically the anterolateral approach, and you can use this to visualize the joint line to optimize reduction. Reduction, again, is achieved with internal rotation. Keep in mind that arthroscopically assisted reduction has been described. And finally, indirect reduction with a periarticular clamp and percutaneous fixation has also yielded good results. As far as instrumentation, intraepiphyseal K-wires or cannulated screws are typically used. Transphyseal fixation can also be used as most patients are approaching skeletal maturity. Postoperatively, these patients will be placed into a long leg cast for 3 to 4 weeks, then a short leg walking cast for 2 weeks. Complications to be aware of include premature growth arrest and early arthritis. Premature growth arrest is rare as physeal closure is already occurring in the setting of a Tullo fracture. However, keep in mind that premature growth arrest has a decreased risk with anatomic reduction. And finally, early arthritis has an increased risk with articular displacement. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, a child presents to the emergency department with a Tullo fracture. Following a closed reduction attempt, which of the following is the strongest indication for surgical fixation? And the choices are 1, age less than 12, 2, age greater than 12, 3, male sex, 4, articular step-off greater than 2 millimeters, and 5, any articular step-off. The correct answer to this question is 4, articular step-off of greater than 2 millimeters. So following closed reduction, a Tullo fracture with greater than 2 millimeters of articular step-off necessitates surgical fixation. To quickly review, Tullo fractures, which remember are Salter-Harris 3 injuries, along with triplane fractures, which are Salter-Harris 4 injuries, are transitional fractures in adolescents with incomplete physeal closure. The distal tibia physis close in the following order: central, medial, and lateral. Supination and external rotation about the ankle will often shear off an anterolateral tibial fragment before the anterior inferior tibiofibular ligament fails. If the articular step-off is less than 2 millimeters, treatment consists of cast immobilization, whereas greater than 2 millimeters of step-off requires an open reduction internal fixation or closed reduction percutaneous pinning to prevent growth arrest, although this is rare, and post-traumatic arthritis. Closed reduction typically involves internal rotation of the ankle. Wirtz et al. Reviewed pediatric physeal ankle fractures. They state that Tullo and triplane fractures typically arise in the 18-month transitional period prior to complete physeal closure. They suggest utilizing a CT scan for surgical planning to better assess articular congruency. Crawford discussed the indications for surgical fixation of both triplane and Tullo fractures. He comments on the excellent outcomes of these fractures when anatomically reduced and reinforces the utility of CT in properly assessing articular congruity. Finally, he suggests using closed reduction and percutaneous fixation using a threaded cannulated screw with the goal of achieving less than 2 millimeters of articular step-off. Moving on to the next question. A 14-year-old girl sustained a Tullo ankle injury in a fall. What ligament is attached to the displaced fragment? And the choices are 1, long plantar ligament, 2, anterior talofibular ligament, 3, posterior talofibular ligament, 4, anterior inferior tibiofibular ligament, and 5, posterior inferior tibiofibular ligament. The correct answer to this question is 4, anterior inferior tibiofibular ligament. So the patient has sustained a Tullo fracture. This fracture of the anterolateral portion of the distal tibia epiphysis occurs in early adolescence. The medial portion of the growth plate fuses first. The anterior inferior tibiofibular ligament attaches to the anterolateral portion of the tibial epiphysis and avulses the fragment, usually in response to an external rotation force. Moving on to the next question. A 12-year-old sustains a twisting injury to his ankle while playing soccer. His skin is intact, and he has no evidence of neurovascular compromise. An injury radiograph shows a talo fracture. A close reduction is attempted to improve alignment. What is the next best step after reduction to optimize this patient's outcome? And the choices are 1, splinting and admit for observation for compartment syndrome, 2, short leg cast and discharge without patient follow-up, 3, long leg cast and discharge without patient follow-up, 4, percutaneous pinning with casting immobilization, and 5, CT scan of the ankle. The correct answer to this question is 5, CT scan of the ankle. So based on the history and the radiographs described, this patient has a talo fracture, and after reduction in casting, the best thing would be to obtain a CT scan to assess residual intra-articular displacement. To quickly review, talo fractures of the distal tibia are transitional Salter-Harris 3 fractures. Because of the sequence of closure of the distal tibial physis, rotational mechanisms of injury can cause avulsion of the anterolateral epiphysis, yielding the talo fracture pattern. Residual displacement leads to articular surface incongruity, for which degenerative changes can be seen radiographically as early as 4 years after the injury. Horn et al. Completed a cadaveric study to discern which imaging modality had better sensitivity for detection of displaced talo fractures. They found that CT scans were more sensitive for detecting fractures with greater than 2 millimeters of displacement and recommend that CT scans should be the preferred imaging modality in evaluating patients with talo injuries. Moving on to the next question. In a juvenile talo ankle fracture, what ligament causes the displacement of the fracture fragment? And the choices are 1, anterior tibiofibular, 2, posterior tibiofibular, 3, deltoid, 4, calcaneofibular, and 5, talonavicular. The correct answer to this question is 1, anterior tibiofibular. So the juvenile talo ankle fracture usually occurs because the lateral half of the distal tibial physis remains open. During an external rotation force, the anterior tibiofibular ligament holds the lateral tibial epiphysis, separating it through at the junction of the middle closed physis and lateral open physis. And moving on to the final question, a juvenile talo ankle fracture is caused by an avulsion injury involving which of the following structures? And the choices are 1, anterior inferior tibiofibular ligament, 2, posterior inferior tibiofibular ligament, 3, anterior talofibular ligament, 4, posterior talofibular ligament, and 5, calcaneofibular ligament. The correct answer to this question is 1, anterior inferior tibiofibular ligament. So a talo fracture occurs when the anterior inferior tibiofibular ligament, or AITFL, avulses an epiphyseal fragment off of the anterolateral tibia, typically from an external rotation mechanism. This creates a Salter-Harris 3 fracture. It occurs typically in adolescents during physeal closure, usually 12 to 15 years of age, because the distal tibia physis closes from medial to lateral, leaving the lateral physis vulnerable to this transitional fracture pattern. Because this fracture occurs in adolescence with relatively mature growth plates, there is diminished potential for deformity due to growth plate injury. Displacement and articular incongruity help determine whether operative intervention is indicated. That's all for this review about talo fractures. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that this podcast is designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.